Why Do We Sound So Good? Because we're at Dead Aunt Thelma's studio and Mike Moore is engineering for us. Thanks, Dead Aunt Thelma's. Thanks, Mike. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I'm Susanna Mars, and today I'm with Eily Schreiner, the trust manager of the Oregon Cultural Trust, Liz Esslinger, executive director of Right Around Portland, and Jose Gonzalez, executive director of Milagro Theater. And it is so great to have you three here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, Eily, I'm going to start with you because the Oregon Cultural Trust is really the underbelly of this conversation. We're featuring the work of the Oregon Cultural Trust today, and both Right Around Portland and Milagro are recipients of trust funds. And I imagine there are quite a lot of people out there who have no idea what the trust does for our state and the artists within it. So can you give everyone a rundown of this organization and what you're up to?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us, by the way. This is a really exciting conversation. In Oregon, we tend to be innovative at times when we recognize that something's really important to us as a state. I think about the public beach laws that we have, where everyone can visit the beach because it's important that they have access. I think about the bottle bill and how we were one of the pioneers of creating a financial incentive to recycle that glass or now plastic bottle. And I consider the Oregon Cultural Trust to be right up there with one of Oregon's innovative strategies to address something we really care about, and that is providing ongoing funding every year to arts and culture nonprofits. And so not every state offers a direct way of funding arts and culture nonprofits. The way we do it in Oregon is we reward the first gift that you make to Right Around Portland or Milagro with an opportunity to make a matching gift to the trust. So it's a matching concept. So I give $100 to Right Around Portland, I can make a matching gift of $100 to the Cultural Trust. And here's where the incentive piece comes in. I actually get that match back as a tax credit. So when I'm doing my taxes at the end of the year and I'm going through all the deductions, you know, all the contributions I've made over the year to cultural nonprofits, when it comes to that tax credit line, I can put that $100 to the trust right there and it comes off what I owe. So it's a way that Oregon has thought of to inspire people to make an additional gift to something that they really care about. And what the trust does with those funds, and last year, Oregonians gave $4.6 million to the Cultural Trust, which is not a small amount. Mm-hmm. What we do with that is we give grants all around the state the next year, and we give them in the forms of cultural development grants, which Right Around Portland and Milagro have had multiple times. But we also give direct funding to every county and every tribe in Oregon so that they can fund their local cultural priorities themselves. And then we also put aside funds for our state cultural partners. So Oregon Humanities, the Oregon Historical Society, the Oregon Arts Commission, to support their grant-making work. So it's an umbrella model of funding for arts and culture around the state. And the way that it works is because Oregonians decide that that's something that's important to them. And so they make that matching gift. And we have about 9,000 cultural donors who make that matching gift to the trust. And we're really excited about increasing that number, because what it means is more money out all across Oregon, from Burns to Newport, from Astoria.
From sea to shining sea.
Exactly, exactly. And we're really unique. No other state in this union decides to let their citizens make that direct kind of statement to the legislature, which is, we think that arts and culture funding is critical to our community well-being. We understand the impact that it makes. And so they provide this tax credit as an incentive for that first gift.
It's so exciting because the tax credit, it feels as though you're just making a loan that is now going to be passed on to these arts groups, and then you get it back when you do your taxes.
A lot of people think that sounds too good to be true. Mm-hmm. How does that actually work? It works.
It works. Yes, I do know this.
Yeah. You actually see that come right off of your taxes. And then the thing that's exciting, I think, for us is then we get to see what the difference it makes out in the field. So mm-hmm. we get to see the work that Right Around Portland is able to do because of Oregonians participating in the tax credit. We get to see the incredible work that Milagro is doing in Southeast Portland with that community. So it's, you know, we were, I think, talking earlier a bit about how satisfying it is to mow a lawn. You get immediate results.
Don't ask how we got there.
I know. It's the same way for us because, you know, we have all the end of year giving that's so important for all of our work. And then the next year you see it blossom out in the field, and it's very gratifying.
Well, and I think it's important to note also that there are around 1,400 organizations that benefit from the trust. So while Milagro and Right Around Portland are here with us, there are over 1,000 organizations, and you can take a look at the website and see who are a part of the trust so that you can make your donation accordingly.
Yeah, and you'd be very surprised, I think, if you went onto the website for the first time and took a look at who's there. It will be your local education fund. It will be your local library foundation. It will be your local theater.
Historical society.
Mm-hmm. They are all on the list, and they're on the list because they know that it's important to their donors that they can take advantage of the tax credit. It also creates an ecosystem for arts and culture in Oregon. We get to know each other. You know, we talk to each other about the work that we do. We share outcomes of things that have worked for us. And to me, that's about a healthy ecosystem. And the tax credit is a mechanism to support that.
Well, and share is the operative word here, because as that lawn mowing analogy was about how in the past, you know, ownership of certain things has been a part of the power hierarchy in the world. And now we're really coming to terms with redistributing our resources and deciding, renewing ideas about who holds information and how we can share it and spread the wealth. And so as the trust is funding, for instance, Right Around Portland, and as a result, I, of course, was poking around on your website, mm-hmm. The other day, and you have got a wealth of programs that are really giving voice to communities that haven't had a voice in the past. And in fact, I was looking at this piece, Jose, by K.C. Rogers, and there's a written piece on your mm-hmm. website by a person who's been a part of Right Around Portland, and you can see this incredible work of a person who has found renewed excitement about life through writing. Can you speak to that and how the trust is helping you reach people like K.C.?
Absolutely. I mean, our mission, very simply, is to change lives through the power of writing. And we really focus on bringing our writing workshops to some of the most underrepresented individuals and communities in the greater Portland metro area. So we bring our writing workshops to hospitals, schools, prisons, social service agencies, treatment centers, affordable housing communities, all over the area. And we don't see ourselves as giving voice to people. We see that people already have voices, and mm-hmm. those voices maybe have been pushed down or to the edges or have been silenced. And we want to create an opportunity through creative writing mm-hmm. to elevate voices and to do that in a community-like experience. We see writing is a powerful tool for bringing people together. And often, I think in society, it's seen as a solitary act. And certainly, people can and do write on their own. And there's certainly value in that. We think that there is something especially rich about having people come together in community to write and to share their writing with people and to meet people face to face that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise met. Mm-hmm. And so we see our creative writing workshops as an opportunity for building community. We see our books that we publish every season. These are books of writing of participants from our creative writing workshops. They submit pieces to be published, and in those books, we see that as a community building tool, because in a season we may have 20 creative writing workshops that are happening all across the metro. And in one room, people may be writing with 10 other people, but then the book becomes this place where all of a sudden your piece is next to someone across the metro that you've never met before. And it's a voice that maybe you haven't experienced or heard before. So our books are a way to bring people together and elevate voices. And then at the end of each season, we do a community reading where we release the book and we celebrate all the writing and community building that took place over a season. And it's all about bringing people together through the power of writing and having people connect with others that they may have never connected with before.
Well, I'm a firm believer in the artistic process, and the fact that you're bringing this openness and vulnerability to people is really the conversation that we need to have nationwide, mm-hmm. where people are opening their hearts to what is going on for them and sharing it in an environment that's safe. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pivotal for the shifts that we're wanting to make in our world. So Jose, I look to you always. Milagro's work is just, is that community building, generous. It every time I speak to you about your work, it just inspires me to do better. And I know you're also funded by the trust. And how have you been sharing those funds with your community?
Well, thank you for the kind words, Anna. I don't know what to say. Since our inception, inclusion and diversity have been sort of key cornerstones of our work, and we've seen it as our responsibility to make sure that particularly the Latino community of artists as well as patrons, have an opportunity to share in the wealth of arts and culture that we have available here in Oregon. And the trust has been really an important vehicle for making that happen. I know that we've received funding for a long time, so I can't go into all the details, but I think most recently, most of the support has gone for us to produce Spanish language theater, which we are also make accessible to non-Spanish speakers or Spanish learners in terms of supertitling. And this has really helped open the door, not only for Milagro to experience with its artist the richness of Latin American theater in its own native language, but also for a larger public to also share in that experience, particularly when we talk about Spanish language learners as well as monolingual Spanish speakers. And then last year, we were really surprised to get a significant grant to support renovations in our facility in the Inner East Side, particularly the area that we look as at our community space, the space that we really see Milagro as an artistic organization intersecting with a larger public, both on a creative platform as well as just an basic community platform. And the Zocalo has been the focus of our renovation this year. It's an area that, like I said, enables creative activities to take place, like exhibitions or small performances. But we also have community meetings, fundraisers. It's open to small nonprofits. So it's a real opportunity for us not only to share our cultural resources, but also to share our tangible resources. Mm-hmm. There are few and far. Cultural facilities are few and far between nowadays. And mm-hmm. so anyway, that's just a part of it. There's a lot more that goes on.
Well, it's interesting because I'm a resident artist at Artist Repertory Theater, and we're similarly sharing space. And that's another piece of the puzzle of those of us who have had this incredible opportunity to have space that we can take for granted. Yeah. So many people who don't have the space to meet people or have an experience, an artistic experience. It's something that's, priceless to offer. And
it really is. It is. Without that space, there are issues of equity, there are issues of access. The space is really just vital. And I think that that's one of the things that we get the most excited about at the Cultural Trust is when we visit Baker City, Carnegie Crossroads Arts Center, mm-hmm. and see how that community uses, an old Carnegie library to have art classes, ballet classes, mm-hmm. to have community meetings. It is that concept of a third place where there's access for everyone and that the resources there are for everyone that I think is where organizations like Right Around Portland and Milagro and the Trust really see a lot of our most powerful impact in terms of the communities that we are looking to serve. And that, without that regular funding, it's hard for cultural nonprofits to continue to offer that. And I think that's why probably the Trust was created, was that it's a lifeline, really, for ongoing funding. And not just in Portland Metro, but all around the state where resources are not as plentiful. And we are really committed at the state level to ensuring that that's there, because we know that without that, the state is not as vibrant, is not as successful, will not have as bright a future to look forward to unless those opportunities are made available. And so it's a real partnership, I think, between the trust and other funders and the nonprofits, that we're in this together, and we're really committed to what we're doing. And I think our hats go off to the Oregonians who support, you know, right around Portland and Milagro Artist Rep with their direct contributions. But with that matching gift to the trust, it takes that gift and it spreads it around the state, mm-hmm. Which is, I think, a value that I like to think Oregonians share.
I agree. And I love the fact that that's a value that I hold dear. The idea that the work I do is important. And I think it's also important to remind people who are not in the arts as a professional, but we are professionals who are attempting to earn a living wage, as are many other people heading these organizations, who are participants in these organizations. And I think we have to really take it a step further, that these are people who need to earn a living, they're doing important work, and they are full-time professionals. Mm-hmm. And it takes, in fact, yesterday someone said, oh my gosh, you're busy. I said, well, you know, when you're an arts professional, you are hitting the ground running like everybody else. You are a full-timer. Yeah. You know, I think people tend to think of artists as, you know, kind of dabbling or something. So there's no dabbling that I know of. I mean, I guess there is, but.
Well, I think one thing that, and I was actually fortunate to be around at the beginning of the trust way back in the day, that, you know, when I think we first tried to see if we could get a local kind of arts tax option going. And while there seemed to be significant support, it just wouldn't fly. And then, crazy, they said, let's go statewide. And there was a tremendous amount of resonance statewide. But I think the thing that was really lively debated at the time was culture. As our tendency is just to think arts, and of course we have the Regional Arts and Culture Council and we have the Oregon Arts Commission. But when the Oregon Cultural Trust said, no, we also want to embrace culture, that opened a wider door and allowed more to participate on potentially a non-arts basis, but also on a basis that I think can touch more people or reach different kinds of people and in different kinds of communities. So I think that that's been an important part of what the Oregon Cultural Trust does, in addition to, you know, making sure that it's as equitable as possible in terms of distributing resources throughout the state so that everybody benefits, that it also reaches beyond just the arts into the cultural realm, as unspecific as that may be.
Well, now, I remember talking to you a while back, and that might include a building renovation. Is
Absolutely.
That correct?
Yeah.
So maybe speak to a couple of those ways that the trust is doing work in the state.
Absolutely. So we often are asked, well, what does culture mean?
And what a question.
Yeah, I know. And it is a big umbrella, but within the Cultural Trust and its grant making, it's arts, heritage, and humanities, and that is actually fairly inclusive. It is about the preservation work that happens on really historic buildings in large cities, but also historic barns that are a part of a more rural community's history. We provide funds to preserve those buildings, restore those buildings. We also provide funding for the work of Oregon Humanities that holds conversation workshops around the state where topics that are meaningful to that community have, again, a place and a facilitated way of having those community conversations that without that they maybe wouldn't happen.
Language preservation comes to mind.
Absolutely, and that really I think speaks to the support that the trust provides to Oregon's 9 federally recognized tribes. Mm-hmm. There are some very timely efforts happening among the tribes to preserve their ancestral language, to not only preserve it, but then to teach it to the next generation, and also to teach the traditional arts, in terms of, you know, anything from basket weaving to working with tanning to documenting how you find traditional foods. And I think that's where culture really kind of comes alive for people. When we say the C word, culture, people start to, you know, you search a bit for what does that mean? I think the question is, what does that mean for you? Do you celebrate a birthday with a birthday cake? Do you celebrate the first landing of a salmon when you go fishing for the first time on the Columbia River? Do you have traditions in your own family that are important to you? That's really about your human experience. That's your culture. And so the Cultural Trust had that wider vision to say, it's about arts. It's also about the tangible culture, the historic buildings. It's about the traditions that bring meaning to our lives and across generations, how we stay connected, how we build connections. And that's, I think, one of the innovative concepts around the Cultural Trust, is that it is meant to be all-encompassing about the ways Oregonians define culture for themselves.
It's exciting just to think about the simple act of looking at the website and seeing the organizations that are a part of the trust to start to broaden your ideas of what culture is what's important. I mean, language preservation.
What's important, I think that's where we start honing in on that.
And just starting to open our own minds about what it can embrace and the sharing. Mm-hmm. And also finding level playing field is a weird word to use, but to start to think of it in terms of what, as you said, what do you think culture is? And then starting to give rise to the idea that every individual has the same depth of importance about what it is.
And having a respect for that too, right? And recognize having the space for that to be elevated and a part of our larger community feels really important. Mm-hmm. And I think earlier, Jose, you'd mentioned the funding you'd received for the Zocalo, and I've also thought about for right around Portland, the support of the trust. I think it's important to recognize the foundational supports and things that are essential for arts and culture to continue in our community. And there's also, you know, the point about like paying artists and things like that, that arts and culture, in order for it to thrive, needs to have the kind of ongoing support that the trust provides, so that arts and culture organizations can be nimble and can provide programming that can be sustainable and strong and can grow. And without that, there's a lot of scrambling that can happen, and that takes away from what we're trying to do in terms of providing that space for arts and culture. And so I think that that's an important thing to remember about what the trust is doing, mm-hmm. For organizations like ours, and recognizing the importance of that kind of foundational support is
foundational.
Is crucial.
And mm-hmm. it is that. It's mm-hmm. the ground beneath our feet. Mm-hmm. And then from that come artists who are, I don't want to say comfortable, because that's not really what I mean, but able to be nimble mm-hmm. and respond. Mm-hmm. And not being on their last legs of, oh, how are we going to survive? Mm-hmm. It's just so enriching to our state.
Well, and the fact that every year a few more people contribute to the trust, that many more dollars come in. I think, you know, we're about 15 years old now, and so I think Oregonians have the opportunity now to see the impact that the trust has had. You know, we offer grants that might be harder for private foundations to offer. We offer capacity building grants. So if it's time for your organization to move from all volunteer run to a paid staff member, that's a huge advancement for an organization. And it means so much for their ability and for the longevity of the nonprofit. And the trust can offer and does offer those grants every year. And I think that speaks to really the vision of the trust, which was, you know, the work that these cultural nonprofits are inherent to the well-being of our state. And so how can we best support them year after year? And that's why the trust will continue to exist as long as Oregonians are making donations to it, is because we agree that this is something that's of value to us. We know that it's you know, the place we go for either our Christmas traditions or our Hanukkah traditions, or it's the summer arts camp that our children go to.
Mm-hmm. The concert in the park.
Exactly. Yeah. That these are the things that make the difference for us, and we have to support the work of those nonprofits to make sure that that happens, not just this year, but next year, mm-hmm. and the year after that, and the year after that.
And the Oregon Cultural Trust is a living, breathing organization. So if you are a nonprofit and you don't know about the trust, take a look at the website and find out if you are eligible to become a part of it and be funded.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not a magic castle on a hill.
It's
a part of our state.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That we all have access to.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun, actually, this time of year when people call us at the trust office and say, you know, I'm wondering if my local library foundation is on the list. And I say, okay, let's pull it up. Let's explore your city or your county and let's see who's on the list. And inevitably, we're both, you know, myself and whoever's on the phone are just so excited to see how many organizations are actually on the list.
Mm-hmm.
It shows the wealth that the state has, mm-hmm. And the commitment that we all make to all of these nonprofits, and also that they're on the list with the trust, and that they are offering that as a bonus to their donors, that they can make that second gift to the trust to receive the tax credit. And then also that means that they can apply for and receive grants. And it's always an exciting time of year for us, because as we help donors find the cultural nonprofits that might be in their community, because we're reminded of just how many wonderful organizations there are around the state, and sometimes a surprising number of them, which to me just tells me Oregonians are very committed to arts and culture.
So I got a question. It seems to me, I know that the trust has been continuing work to build increased contributions to the trust so that they basically can turn that around and redistribute it back to arts and cultural organizations throughout the state. And last year, I think, am I correct, it really made a major push and significantly increased contributions. And like I think you said earlier, you're like over 9,000 individual contributors. Is your next goal 10,000?
Good question. Our next goal is 11,000.
Good question.
This year,
we dream cool. big. So we figured out that if we had 2,000 new donors this year,
mm-hmm.
that would mean, so the average gift for the first time around for a couple filing jointly is $343.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that says, well, it probably matches the gifts that they're making out in the field, and they want to try this tax credit thing out. They want to see if it actually works. And when they find that it does, inevitably the next year they give to the full allowable tax credit limit, mm-hmm. which is $500 for an individual, it's $1,000 for a couple filing jointly, and it's $2,500 for Class C corporations.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is, if we bring in 2,000 new donors, donors experience that the tax credit works, and they tend to stick with us,
yeah.
because it's a benefit to them year after year, and it's a benefit to the state. They get to see the impact of the amount. And if we looked at what $343 times 2,000 is, that's over $500,000 in grant making, mm-hmm. that we could make next year. That would be huge. And so we've set that goal for ourselves. If we broke it out across the state, that would be 55 new donors for every county.
Mm-hmm.
I have confidence
it's easy.
That we could do that, even easy. Just in the Portland metro area alone.
It would be really fun to see after this podcast drops and people realize, wait a minute, I can loan $500 to the state of Oregon, get it back on my taxes, and benefit the state.
I'll just testify. I think my wife and I, Danielle, who's also co-founder of Milagro, we've been donating the maximum pretty much since it began.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's just a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely. One is we're happy to support other arts and cultural organizations in our community, including Milagro. But then just, doubling that by sending a gift to the Oregon Cultural Trust and getting it back on a tax credit, there's just no way you can lose on that.
Testify.
And everybody benefits. I know. I'm sorry.
Sorry? Are you kidding? That's what this is all about.
But, I think, from a personal standpoint, it's just the best deal I think anybody could get, not only for yourself individually, but in terms of also benefiting a much larger community. It really makes sense.
And once you start doing it, you start to think back about how many years you didn't, and you think, holy cow, what was I thinking? Yeah. I'm a total idiot.
Yeah. Well, it's a big state. There's a lot of awareness work that we continue to do, and you know, the thing that's encouraging is that once people start giving, they continue to do it year after year because they have the experience of seeing that it works, and it feels good too. I know that that's maybe an odd thing to say when we talk about taxes, but it is something that I personally feel. When I make when my husband and I make a $1,000 contribution to the cultural trust, I know exactly the impact that it's going to be making around the state. Mm-hmm. It helps our tax bill a lot, and that's nice. I won't lie. But what's more important is that when I have the privilege of visiting Lake County or Union County in Oregon, places that are beautiful and remote and maybe not a lot of us have visited, and I see that there are projects that are being funded by the trust, it makes me feel like I'm being a good citizen in the state. And you know, these days I look for that. Look for opportunities to feel like I'm contributing in a positive way towards the well-being of my fellow Oregonians. Yeah. And this is one of those ways. And so it actually feels good.
Yep. Well, it'd be fun, I think, to kind of finish up our conversation with the events that are coming up with right around Portland and Milagro that people can come and see and participate mm-hmm. in. And on the website, I noticed all those incredible writing workshops you have all over the city. Hot Lips Pizza, mm-hmm. Prompt at Powell's. Yep. I mean, I didn't know these existed. They're incredible.
Yeah. So for anyone that wants to get a taste of Right Around Portland's model and our writing workshop and also support the work that we're doing in the community, we do sliding scale fee workshops at Hot Lips Pizza on Hawthorne. So folks can come $10 to $30. And they can write for a couple hours. We do those usually twice a month. It's the third Thursday and last Sunday of most months. I'd recommend going to our website to get the dates. And then we also do workshops, full 10-week workshops at Powell's City of Books on Burnside. So for folks that want to write and be at a beautiful place like Powell's Books, it's a great opportunity to do that. And for those of you that are interested in just experiencing the writing of participants that have been in our fall workshops, the 20 fall workshops that I mentioned earlier, we have readings that are happening in December, community readings on December 7th and 13th at 6:30. And you can go to our website and get that information as well. We'll be releasing our newest anthology, which is Know These Mountains, Conocer Estas Montañas, and you can come and hear the words and writing of participants from our fall workshops.
And that website is rightaround.org.
Rightaround.org.
Good, just so you know.
WRITE around.org.
That's a good distinction.
It is.
It's not ride around.
It's not like I'm on, you know, a bike or something.
Which probably there's some funding in the trust for that type of work also.
If it's out there and Oregonians think it's important, yes, you bet.
So yes, you can ride around or you can write around.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jose, what's going on at Milagro coming up?
Well, we just closed Exodo, which was our 22nd annual Day of the Dead production last weekend.
And you're coming into, this is the 34th season, just so people
know. Yeah, this is season 34.
What an incredible organization it
is. Yeah, it's sort of daunting when I hear about that. It certainly dates me. You know, and this season we described as rising up. And so we've actually conceived of a season that asserts an individual's right to speak for themselves, to stand up against oppression, to stand up for justice. And the works, I think, that we have selected are just really moving in so many different ways. Right now, we are getting geared up for our annual Posada Milagro, which is a community-based event, free, young, and old. We'll be introducing the public, I think, for the first time to the new Zocalo. So we're looking forward to that, and mm-hmm. we're quickly wrapping up little details there. And then we'll be moving, you know, pretty much full bore starting January with, you know, plays back to back. By, which is a commission play by Georgina Escobar.
That's going to have a national tour, yes?
Yes, yes. That will launch itself in January at Milagro for a couple of weeks, and then is already scheduled to perform across the country through the end of next year and into November. And so we're really excited about that. Georgina worked with us last year on two productions. She hails from New York, and she's terrific. Following that, an Oregon Cultural Trust funded project, it's kind of like a resurrection of an oldie, is Astucias, and actually it's got a much longer title like that. It's a Spanish language play that was first produced in the New World in 1750, and then somehow got buried in some mining archives for 250 years until it was recently discovered. It's a comedy. It's a comedy of class and class struggle. And it was actually banned because it was or censored by the gold, the Revolutionary Age Spaniards because it was perhaps too, how do you call it, controversial. But we're able to bring it back to the stage after sleeping in some dusty mining archives for over 200 years, and we'll be presented it in Spanish and with super titles for the public to address. And then we introduce a really new play called The Mermaid Hour. Then this is a part of a Rolling World premiere that we are doing in conjunction with Actors Theater of Charlotte and Borderlands Theater in Arizona. This is a play that really speaks to a family's dilemma, a parent's dilemma, when they have to deal with a child who's suddenly taking a different course. And in this case, it's a gender identity issue or a gender transformation. And of course, if you have been a parent, you can understand that children never really, you know, how do you call it, do what you want them to do.
Yep, that's what you call it.
And you're constantly making adjustments. Well, this is a big adjustment. So, and then finally, we'll close the season with Cherie Moraga's Watsonville, which is a beautifully written piece about Latino cannery workers in Watsonville, California, who went on strike in the mid-90s against all odds for pay equity, for fair treatment, for justice, and spent a year and a half struggling and finally won. And it really is a testimony to resilience, to courage, to strength, and primarily through a woman's voice. So we're real excited to bring that piece forward. And as you know, we deal with a lot of injustices in our community. It's just another way to show that there are ways to address these.
Rise up.
Rise up.
Yeah. Connect on these issues. Yeah. They're so beautiful. So I would just encourage everybody who hears this, and if you hear this and you think there are people who don't hear this, share it with them. Share the news of the trust of companies like Milagro and right around Portland and over 1,000 others that are doing this type of work and opening the hearts and minds of people about sharing and this new time that we're entering. And if you are going to make a donation to an arts organization or a cultural organization that you love, and then you in turn make a donation to the trust, email me at smars@artslandia.com. That's smars@artslandia.com. I would love to hear about it and why you're doing it and who you're putting it toward, who you're hoping to fund, why you think this work is important, because this is a community conversation, and it's time, I think, for us to... Arts don't have to be in culture this castle on the hill. Right. They belong to all of us, and the only way to continue to engender that idea is to open up the conversation, you know. Oh, wow, I donated to Milagro right around Portland because I took a class at Hot Lips. Or does Milagro also must have classes as well?
We do classes, but not as consistently as other organizations. Mm-hmm. We're primarily focused on artist development.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be specialized workshops dealing with a variety of areas that we'd like to work with our performers to strengthen.
Mm-hmm.
And we have done a program, I think we're still doing it this year, it's called Hecho a Mano,
mm-hmm.
Which is a series of classes designed for the general community, and there'll be things like making piñatas or sugar skulls or different kinds of little kind of artifacts and or artesanía is what we call it, you know, in Spanish. But and we'll be seeing more things like that in the future.
That's great. Well, needless to say, this conversation, you could listen to it and you could probably occupy yourself for, I don't know, a month, you know, exploring what's out there and the way you can feel connected to your community. So I just encourage everybody to make a donation to a cultural or arts organization that you think is important, and then in turn make a contribution to the Oregon Cultural Trust, get your tax credit, write me at smars@artslandia.com and tell me why, because then we can share that with everyone and just try to get you way past 11,000.
That would be fantastic.
We'll have a citywide celebration.
I can't wait to see what would happen if we had that much more to give across the state. Wouldn't it be cool to see what would happen?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't wait. Yeah.
It's the kind of work, I think, that will help our country make the shift that we need to make right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. Yep. Thank you so much for the work you do for our state. It's so important. It gives me pause.
Thank you for what you do.
Oh, yeah, thank you for having us.
It's such a privilege. So have a wonderful day and get out there and give money to organizations you love.
We'll do.
Yeah.